Good afternoon. On the update this Monday, it's what exactly we were all afraid of. Officials say that SUNY Oneonta will shut down for 2 weeks after 105 people in the college community have tested positive for the coronavirus. And part of the reason? Parties that were held on campus last week. We'll have the latest details. Over at the VMAs, Lady Gaga cleaned house and The Weeknd took home the top prize, while both of the pop stars sent important messages to viewers about the current state of the world. Wear a mask and also justice for Jacob Blake and Breonna Taylor. After losing their second doubleheader in less than a week to the Yankees, the Mets play struggling pitchers Dellin Betances and Steven Matz on the injured list one day after they made appearances against the Yanks. And whose side are you really on? Democrats are accusing President Trump of trying to inflame racial tensions as he unleashed a flurry of tweets on Sunday about a deadly clash between his supporters and protesters in Portland, Oregon. This is the update on the last day of August, Monday, August the 31st, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Monday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update Podcast. A little bit of a different scene for us today. We are on the outskirts of the Staten Island Mall. Yes, indoor malls and movie theaters in New York City have not allowed to reopen just yet. The governor says that it's just, it's a bit too soon for that. But New Jersey has also allowed indoor dining, and they'll be allowing it starting on September 4th. We also have something, I think, rather interesting and exciting, but we'll tell you about that a little later on. We have a lot of news to get to on this Monday. We're going to begin with the latest coronavirus developments, and this is exactly what everybody was fearing. Officials say that SUNY Oneonta will shut down for 2 weeks after more than 100 people in the college community tested positive for the coronavirus. The 105 cases at SUNY Oneonta represent about 3% of the students and faculty on campus this semester. SUNY Chancellor Jim Malatras said on Sunday that five students have been suspended because of large parties that were held last week. He said that three rapid result testing sites will be set up in Oneonta starting on Wednesday. Governor Cuomo said that he urges students to follow the COVID-19 safety guidelines and also avoid large gatherings. On to some of the other news of this Monday. And a 31-year-old man has been charged with attempted rape in an attack on a Manhattan subway platform that was recorded by a bystander as a crowd intervened. Police say the man, Jose Reyes, has a prior arrest history and was identified through facial recognition software as well as tips from the overall public. Reyes was arrested yesterday and charged in an attack that happened around 11 o'clock on Saturday morning on the Upper East Side. Police say that he had appeared to be smoking a hookah on the train and followed the woman when she got off. It's also unclear, though, if he actually has a lawyer. Going over to Washington we go now, where a congressman from here in New York is introducing some legislation that seeks to double the amount of funding for a Justice Department grant program used to hire police officers across the U.S. Democratic U.S. Representative Andy Brinzidi said yesterday that he'll seek to attach an amendment to a government spending bill to increase the funding for the COPS hiring program to about $800 million. The grant program is administered by the Justice Department's Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services. It distributed more than $350 million to police agencies across the U.S. this year, for hiring and to enhance community policing. Decision 2020, we turn to now, where the president and Democratic challenger Joe Biden are embracing some conflicting tactics and messages to gain an advantage with the weeks dwindling until Election Day. They're also both facing a pandemic, an uncertain economy, violent civil unrest, and questions about the integrity of the election itself. And never before has such dire variables loomed over the closing weeks of an election. Each side has cast the other as an existential threat to America's future, as they offered voters starkly different versions of reality over the past 2 weeks of carefully scripted conventions. Both sides are acknowledging that the race will likely get closer. Back here to New York we go now, where Columbia Artists Management Incorporated, one of the leading agencies that's representing classical music performers, says that it's shutting down. A statement emailed to CAMI artists says that the agency is closing its doors today. The statement says that the company is entering a form of insolvency proceeding, quote, where assets are liquidated and claims addressed in an orderly manner. The statement also says that the company endured a prolonged pandemic environment. The agency was found in December of 1930 and has represented many of the leading conductors, among them Herbert von Karajan, Leonard Bernstein, James Levine, Seiji Ozawa, and Valery Gergiev. To Long Island we go now, out of Bridgehampton, where officials say that four people suffered serious burns when a fire pit exploded in the wealthy Hamptons area. The explosion happened just before 7 o'clock on Saturday night at a house in Bridgehampton. Southampton Town Police Department said in a news release that a man and a woman were airlifted to Stony Brook University Hospital in serious condition. Two other men were taken to another hospital for treatment. A witness told the East Hampton Star that the explosion occurred during an engagement party. Police and fire marshals are still investigating the cause of the blast. Over to Middletown we go now, where officials there say that a police officer was shot and wounded while responding to a domestic dispute, and then returned fire and shot the gunman. Orange County District Attorney David Hoovler says that the officer was in a marked patrol car when he was flagged down by residents of a Middletown home shortly before 7:30 on Saturday night. Officials believe the officer was shot by someone at the home and then returned fire, injuring the initial shooter. Both the officer and the other man were being treated at hospitals yesterday. Their names and conditions, though, have not yet been released. If you watched it on TV last night, you may know that yesterday was the MTV Video Music Awards, or the VMAs. Lady Gaga cleaned house while The Weeknd took home the top prize. And both the pop stars send important messages to viewers about the current state of the world. Wear a mask and justice for Jacob Blake and Breonna Taylor. Gaga won 5 honors yesterday, most of them for a number one hit with Ariana Grande, Rain on Me, which the pop stars performed live for the very first time. The Weeknd paid tribute to both Blake and Taylor, two black people, of course, who were shot by police officers after winning Video of the Year and Best R&B for Blinding Lights. Over toward the tunnels we go now, near the Lincoln and Holland Tunnel, where a commuter bus slammed into a divider near the Port Authority bus terminal, injuring at least 16 people. The New Jersey Transit bus crashed on Saturday morning on an upper ramp at the Port Authority bus terminal, tossing passengers around and causing major damage to the vehicle's front end. The fire department said 11 people were taken to hospitals for treatment, including one person described as having severely critical injuries. Others were treated at the scene. No other vehicles were involved, and the crash triggered a temporary closure of all New Jersey-bound lanes of the Lincoln Tunnel. And finally, over to Times Square we go, where police there say that a shirtless man wielding a homemade spear sliced a 15-year-old boy in the forehead back on Friday in a brazen attack. Roland Pacheco is undergoing a psychiatric evaluation while awaiting arraignment in Manhattan court on assault, weapons possession, and menacing charges. Police say the 52-year-old Pacheco fled after attacking the boy, who was hospitalized and treated with stitches, only to be caught slashing tires just a few blocks away. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Monday, we'll tell you a few messages from the MTA. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how, after losing their second doubleheader in less than a week, mind you, the Mets put two of their struggling pitchers on the injured list. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then the latest national news, including how Democrats are searching for a way to force the Trump administration to continue briefing Congress in person about foreign attempts to interfere in the election this November. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
And now, this message from the MTA. This is for you to help stop the spread of COVID-19. You must wear a mask or a covering that protects your nose and mouth for your entire trip. It's the law and also a sign of respect to your fellow passengers. Thank you for riding with them. As a reminder, also as of today, fare collection has resumed on New York City buses. So as a reminder, the fare on New York City local, limited, and select bus service is $2.75. Transfers must be requested upon payment of cash fare. Select bus service, you must pay at the MetroCard machines or the select bus service machines outside the bus stop and keep your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $6.75. Coins will no longer be accepted as payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Monday. And we're going to start with the Subway Series. They've played a total of 5 games in 3 days. That must be a record or something. Gary Sanchez delivered the first pinch hit extra innings grand slam in Yankees history. Devi Garcia made a strong impression in his big league debut. And the Yankees beat the Mets 5-2 to complete a doubleheader sweep. The Yankees stormed back in the opener, erasing a 5-run lead with 2 outs in the 7th to win 8-7 in 8 innings. Aaron Hicks lined a tying two-run homer in the seventh, and Gio Urshela hit a game-ending single off Edwin Diaz an inning later. The Yankees won the final three games of this five-game Subway Series, snapping a seven-game skid that was their longest since 2017. Speaking of those New York Metropolitans, they lost, of course, the doubleheader for the second time in less than a week. The first one, of course, was to the Marlins returning to play, and now they lost that doubleheader to the Yankees just yesterday. Well, they now place their struggling pitchers, Dellin Betances and Steven Matz, on the injured list one day after they both made appearances against them. Betances landed on the injured list with right lat tightness. Matz was placed on the IL with left shoulder discomfort, and we'll see a doctor today to determine the next step. And finally, let's go up to the NHL playoff bubble in Toronto. Jean-Gabriel Pagel scored the go-ahead goal 7-18 into the third period, and the Islanders moved to within one game of advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals with a 3-2 win over the Flyers. Brock Nelson scored twice, both set up by Josh Bailey, and the Islanders gained a 3-1 lead in the best-of-seven second-round series, with Game 5 set for tomorrow night. New York is seeking to make its first conference finals appearance since 1993, when the Islanders lost to Montreal in six games. Sean Couturier and Ivan Proparov scored for the East top-seeded Flyers, who are coming off a 3-1 loss on Saturday. Philadelphia lost consecutive games for the first time since an 0-3-1 skid from December 31st to January 7th. In terms of today's action, Mets are at home making up that game that was canceled on Friday against the Marlins. They start at 1:10 this afternoon. Jacob DeGrom gets the ball for the Mets. Trevor Rogers will go for Miami. And the Yanks, they're at home to take on the first place Tampa Bay Rays tonight at 7:05. Gerrit Cole will get the ball for the Yankees. Tyler Glasnow will go for Tampa Bay. When we return on the update of this Monday, we will talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will talk the latest national news, including how Oregon State Police are going to return to Portland to help the local authorities there after the fatal shooting of a man following the clashes between President Trump supporters and counter-protesters. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council. America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Paging common sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the aforementioned update with Brandon Julian. Monday here in the big city, coming off a weekend, Labor Day weekend. Neck comes your way next weekend, the unofficial end to summer. The next week, all the public school children in New York City go back to school for 2 or 3 days a week, because of the blended model. What's also interesting coming to our show, I can't divulge the details of it just yet, but just know It will be the most it might be the most interesting thing that we've ever done. I promise you that. It'll be advice designed toward a specific group of people to help them stop being, in words I would like to say, to help people stop being so damn stupid. But, I don't know, we'll leave the details at that and let people figure it out from there. But that's coming soon. It's a special project that we all are working on. Anyway, that aside, let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this August the 31st. The highlight of his day came in 1997 when Prince Charles brought Princess Diana home for the last time, escorting the body of his former wife to a Britain that was shocked, grief-stricken, and angered by her death in a Paris traffic accident earlier that day. In 1881, the first U.S. tennis championships for men only began in Newport, Rhode Island. In 1888, Marianne Nichols, believed to be the first victim of Jack the Ripper, was found slain in London's East End. In 1935, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed an act prohibiting the export of U.S. arms to belligerents. In 1969, boxer Ricky Marciano died in a light airplane crash in Iowa a day before his 46th birthday. In 1972, at the Munich Summer Olympics, American swimmer Mark Spitz won his fourth and fifth gold medals in the 100-meter butterfly and the 800-meter freestyle relay. Soviet gymnast Olga Korbut won gold medals in floor exercise and on the balance beam. In 1980, Poland's solidarity labor movement was born with an agreement signed in Gdańsk that ended in a 17-day-old strike. In 1986, 82 people were killed when an Aeromexico jetliner and a small private plane collided over Cerritos, California. Also, the Soviet passenger ship Admiral Nakhimov collided with a merchant vessel in the Black Sea, causing both to sink. Up to 448 people reportedly died. In 1989, Princess Prince Anne and her husband, Captain Mark Phillips, announced that they were separating after 15 years of marriage. In 1992, white separatist Randy Weaver surrendered to authorities in Naples, Idaho, ending an 11-day siege by federal agents that had claimed the lives of Weaver's wife, son, and a deputy U.S. Marshal. Weaver was acquitted of murder and all the charges in connection with the confrontation. He was convicted, though, of failing to appear for trial on firearms charges and was sentenced to 18 months in prison, but given credit for 14 months that he had already served. In 1994, the Irish Republican Army declared a ceasefire. Also, Russia officially ended its military presence in the former East Germany and the Baltics after half a century. In 1996, three adults and four children drowned when their vehicle rolled into John D. Long Lake in Union, South Carolina. They had gone to see a monument to the sons of Susan Smith, who had drowned the two boys in October of 1994. And in 2005, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin reported a, quote, significant number of dead bodies in the water following Hurricane Katrina. Nagin ordered virtually the entire police department to abandon search and rescue efforts and to instead stop increasingly hostile thieves. When we return on the update this Monday, we will address the latest national news, including how in Kenosha, Wisconsin, scores of police supporters have gathered there where the protesters have demonstrated against police brutality since the shooting of Jacob Blake last weekend. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around, and every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect, With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at Mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon and Julian on a Monday afternoon on the outskirts of the Staten Island Mall. The closed Staten Island Mall, I should add. Let's talk the latest national news on this Monday. And we are going to begin in Washington. We're racing against the political clock. Democrats are searching for a way to force the Trump administration to continue briefing Congress in person about foreign attempts to interfere in the November election. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe says that most briefings on what the administration knows about efforts to influence the election will now be given to Congress in writing. He says that in the past, delivering, quote, all member briefings in person has resulted in, quote, leaks for political purposes within moments. A top Democrat, though, calls that, quote, a lie. But there's little time for Democrats to challenge the decision in the shadow of the November 3rd election and very few options to compel the administration to change course. Out west to Portland, Oregon we go, where the Oregon State Police are going to be returning to Portland to help local authorities after the fatal shooting, of a man following clashes between President Trump's supporters and counter-protesters that led to an argument between the president and the city's mayor over who was to blame for the violence. On Saturday evening, a caravan of about 600 vehicles packed with Trump supporters drove through the liberal city and was met with counter-protesters. Skirmishes broke out at about 15 minutes after the caravan left the city. A supporter of the right-wing group Patriot Prayer was fatally shot. Out in Kenosha, Wisconsin, scores of police supporters have gathered there, where protesters have demonstrated against police brutality since the shooting of Jacob Blake last weekend. Some attending the rally in the Wisconsin city yesterday wore Back the Blue shirts. Others carried American flags. They applauded when law enforcement vehicles rolled by. You may remember, of course, a Kenosha police officer shot Blake in the back on August 23rd, leaving the 29-year-old black man paralyzed. Protesters have marched in Kenosha every night since Blake's shooting. Some protests, though, have devolved into unrest. On Tuesday, two people were killed by an armed civilian during the protests in Kenosha. In St. Louis, in the heartland of America, authorities there say a St. Louis police officer who was shot in the head while responding to a shooting on the city's south side has now died. 29-year-old Tamaris L. Bonahan had been with the department for nearly 4 years. A second officer who was shot in the leg yesterday was treated and released after the shooting around 6 o'clock in the South Grand neighborhood near Tower Grove Park. The gunman barricaded himself inside a home, and police negotiated with him for nearly 12 hours before the 43-year-old was taken into custody on Sunday morning. Police have released no details, though, about his arrest. There is more national news to talk about. We will address those when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Welcome back to The Update, everyone. Talking national news this Monday, let's go over to Bryan, Texas, where three people have been killed and a fourth has been critically injured when a plane crashed at the city-owned airport in Bryan, Texas. City spokesperson Kristen Wegner said the details of the yesterday afternoon crash, including a possible cause, were not yet known. FAA spokesperson Lynn Lunsford said the single-engine airplane with four people on board crashed at Coulter Field Airport, which is about 85 miles northwest of Houston, shortly after 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. The names of those on board have not yet been released. The FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board will investigate the crash. Going back to Washington we go now, where Democrats are accusing President Trump of trying to inflame the racial tensions as he unleashed a flurry of tweets yesterday about a deadly clash between his supporters and protesters in Portland, Oregon. Trump's critics also pointed to the president's plans to visit Kenosha, Wisconsin, the site of another police-involved shooting. Local Democratic leaders, though, have denounced Trump's plans to visit Kenosha. A man was shot and killed in Portland, of course, after a large caravan of Trump supporters and Black Lives Matter protesters clashed in the city's streets. In tweets yesterday, Trump praised the caravan participants as, quote, great patriots, and blamed the city's Democratic mayor for the death. Over in Madison, Wisconsin, more than 40 professional athletes have signed a letter in solidarity with the Invest in Us Coalition, demanding accountability for the Wisconsin police officer who shot Jacob Blake. The athletes, including former boxer Layla Ali, New Orleans linebacker Demario Davis, soccer star Megan Rapinoe, the WNBA's Diana Taurasi, and Elena Del Don, and former NFL players Doug Baldwin and Michael Bennett, also called for real investments to end police violence and gun violence in Black and brown communities. Invest in Us is a coalition of Wisconsin-based and national advocacy organizations, including 50 Miles More, Wisconsin Urban League, Wisconsin Black Caucus, Brady United Against Gun Violence, Color of Change, Community Justice Action, and March for Our Lives. And finally, let's go over to Columbus in Ohio, where police there say that Ohio State defensive tackle Haskell Garrett was wounded in a shooting in Columbus over the weekend. Police say that officers responding to a report of a shooting just before 12:30 on Sunday morning found blood in the street and one shell casing near the blood. They said that the officers followed a trail of blood to an apartment where the 22-year-old Garrett was found with a, quote, through-and-through gunshot wound to the cheeks. He was taken to Ohio State University Hospital in stable condition. Police opened a felony assault investigation. No arrests were immediately announced, and a message was sent to a team representative seeking comment. And in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Monday, August the 31st, 2020. That is the update on this Monday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. On the last day of August, tomorrow we start September. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and please be well. And honey, please warm up that toaster oven because I definitely really feel like cooking tonight. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.